Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Overreaction. That's what we'll get over the next few days. We'll get reaction and overreaction. Overreaction and overreaction. People will freak out. You'll hear things like the most important election of our lifetime. This is it. This is the most important thing you'll ever do, et cetera, et cetera. I'm here to tell you, no, it's not. It is not the most important election of your lifetime. You are not going to move to Canada. You are not going to move to Australia. You're not going to move to Europe or somewhere else. It's not going to happen. That's also an overreaction. It is an election. Therefore, it's inherently important. But it's not the most important election of our lifetime. All elections are important. To put one over the other is silly. And the truth is, Obama was supposed to be the most important election of our lifetime. Reagan was supposed to be the most important election of our lifetime. This is supposed to be the most important election. Carter and Ford were supposed to be the most important election. I mean, everybody was supposed to be in the most important election. I read a great article in The Federalist about this. And, you know, people are worried that, like, and I have said this over and over. If you think that our country can be destroyed by one singular person, you're wrong. It's not going to happen. There's no doubt our nation is shifting in some ways. There's no doubt we're moving away from things that we once held near and dear, and things are shifting. Let's not say that it's not. Is change always a bad thing? But to say this is the most important election of our lifetime, that's ridiculous. It's not true. It is very important that you vote. It is very important that you do that. But it's also very important that you keep it in context with what your life is. That's really what it's about. Well, Chad, they're going to get the court. Who's going to get the court? Somebody's going to get the court. It's the most. Again, we've talked about that ad nauseum. What you could do if you really wanted to fix the court, and you didn't win this time. Trump doesn't win. 4 years from now, Ryan jumps in there, which I think is looking more and more likely, because I have a feeling the day after the election, that guy's dumping out of that position. And he's looking with his eyes on the prize, especially if Trump doesn't win it. You can increase the justices. There you go. Problem solved. It's ridiculous. I actually kind of like 4-4. I do. That's just me. I look at it in a very real way. Gives states more powers. But it's not the most important thing. You know, people say, Chad, you need to take a stand. Chad, you need to do this. Chad, no. I need to be who I am. I need to be who I am. I have told you over the last couple of days, there's hope for you out there who are supporters of Trump, that he has got some, you know, he has got some momentum. Let's not pretend that he doesn't have some momentum, because he does. Now, will it carry through the weekend? Oddly enough, Anthony, producer Anthony and I were talking earlier today that he looks at me and he says, wow, it's 3 o'clock on the East Coast and we've got no dumps whatsoever. Nothing has come out. No craziness has been dropped. I'm like, wow, that is kind of weird. Now, tomorrow, Julian Assange is going to do what Julian Assange does, which is court the media. And he is going to have some sort of press conference. And he's going to talk about some stuff. What that stuff is, quite frankly, I don't know. And it really, in some ways, I don't care at this point in time. I mean, we're heading into what would be, in many ways, the last weekend before Christmas. And it'll be, you know, it'll be interesting to see what takes place over the weekend. But I think for all intents and purposes, what you're going to see over the next couple days is both of these candidates get into cities, both of these candidates get there and do all they possibly can to try to sway those one or two or four or five or six or seven people in each district that may or may not be voting or may or may not be voting for them or may not have made up their mind. And then they'll move on to the next one. I think it's going to be maybe potentially pretty free of any kind of controversy, which is fine with me. I'm controversied out. But I've seen the way that this has been handled on social media, and I've seen the way that this has been handled by the press and just everything. And let me tell you something, the press is eating this up. just to let you know, ratings through the roof. Talk radio's had a resurgence, but the media in and itself, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, these places have seen massive bumps and they'll have record profits because of it. They don't want it to go away, but it's going to. I mean, you ask the NFL, they would love it if every game they could charge like they do for the Super Bowl. You just can't do it. But to say this is the most important election of the lifetime, it's this is it. This is what the world hinges on. You know, we've progressed since we began as a nation. Look at the Constitution. It has progressed. Has it not? Or is the first Constitution, the first things we have in it, we've not added to it? We've not fixed it? We've not done it? Well, maybe that's, we've progressed as a nation. We have moved forward. Our ideas have changed. Some of the things we once thought were great ideas turned out, maybe not so much. We're moving forward. Nothing is going to destroy our nation in 4 years that these two ding-dongs potentially could do. Nothing. They're not going to do anything. There's no nuclear war coming. For those of you who send me stuff saying the Russians are doing this or the Russians are doing, there is no nuclear war coming. Let me give you just a little bit. Everybody's worried about China. China has 600 plus nuclear warheads. We have over 7,000. Scoreboard. Nobody wants it. It's not going to happen. Is there going to be geopolitical moves? Is there going to be, you know, posturing? Is there going to be people who are trying to, like on a whether it's at a school or in a prison yard, maybe try to make a statement of some sort? Yeah, probably. But is it going to be in a way that we're going to have nuclear war? No. Are your rights going to be gone tomorrow? No. If Trump wins, automatically, are you not going to have a choice anymore, ladies? If Hillary wins, are your guns going to be taken away tomorrow? No. Your life will continue to be what it is, which is whatever you make it. I don't know who's going to win. I will know this Tuesday night. I'll be able to tell you. But until then, I don't know. I don't. I know the path for Donald has opened up tremendously. He's now got a few different paths to actually get there. A few different paths to the point, too, also, where don't be surprised if Tuesday comes and neither of them get that prerequisite 270. That's a possibility. I don't know. But what I do know is it's not the most important election of a lifetime. We've been through a lot of elections that were all important for different reasons. To say one is singularly the most important election. By the way, when Lincoln was going at it, that was supposedly the most important election of a lifetime. Was it more important than what we have now? Maybe. I don't know. There you go. It's important because it's an election. It's important because it has to do with our country. It's important because you're taking part in it. But to say that this is singularly the most important election of a lifetime is wrong. And to overreact, to freak out, to throw a fit, to say, as I get so many text messages from people, that I don't take it serious or I'm a jerk for this or you just don't understand. No, I do understand, because 4 years ago and 8 years ago, you were saying the same thing about President Obama. And yet here we are. Overreaction is what we do. People read stuff. They find the conspiracies and things. They look for things that they want to find to not only validate what they believe, but also, and this is highly important, to show the world why you should believe in what I believe in, because this is going to happen. I get it every day. Last night, out to dinner, bunch of text messages from people who were thinking I'm an idiot, thinking I'm stupid, calling me all kinds of names. You sit there and you laugh because I've got my phone with me all the time. And the text messages actually go to me. Then I'm going to Phil, who's sitting on a beach right now with Katie in Miami, taking a limousine, saw it, Phil. Then I'll go to my other producers, Anthony or John, they come to me. And to watch people freak out, it's amazing. Because we become so reactionary, we become so pent up with frustration and anger and oh, why don't you see what I see? Take a deep breath. The weekend is going to come, it's going to go. Monday's going to arrive. They'll have their last pitches. Tuesday morning, they're off and running. More than likely, by Tuesday night, we'll know who's won this thing. And there'll be some people who are screaming, it's rigged if Donald doesn't win. There'll be people saying there were people at the polls and they were keeping us from doing stuff. There'll be people saying that the machines didn't work. There'll be people, I'm already telling you what's going to come out of this. And the reactions will happen. And I'm sure there may be a challenge or two if it's really close inside of courts. People will lawyer up big time. But let's get there first before we already freak out about it. Because that happens way too much anymore. Where we worry so much about an outcome. We worry so much about the potential of everything that could happen and what's going to go wrong. And we never even have gotten to the point where anybody's been elected. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Like when you text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Speaking of stuff that is important, White House is celebrating, but I'll tell you why they should hold off a little bit. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Jobs, that is something that's near and dear to our hearts. Those things matter, people. Jobs report out today, 166,000 new jobs were added. Somewhere in and around there. That will change. It'll be revised up. It'll be revised down. It was actually 161,000. My bad. So missing the expectation of 173,000. Unemployment's down to 4.9%. Nobody buys that. We all know how that works. It's a game played there. But some of the stuff that you really need to look at, and this is what I always talk about when I talk about finding out the whole story of something. Yes, we've added, you could look at President Obama and go, we have added a ton of jobs. But then you can go, how many jobs have we added, though, that have been the kind of jobs that we need to strengthen the middle class? Oh, well, that's different. Taco Bell announced they're going to add 100,000 jobs. Those aren't probably middle management jobs. Those are people who are going to go, can I take your order, please? Some of the other stuff you have to look at, though, and these are the things where you break down the numbers. And being a person who was in the financial industry, this is what I look at. The data to me that is eye-opening. Part-time work soared by 430,000 in September. Full-time work declined by 5,000. October, another 100,000 full-time jobs were lost, offset by the increase of 90,000 part-time jobs. But this is where you start to say, and you're starting to hear right there. These are the things that make you stand back and go, okay, get it. 8.1 million people now are multiple job holders. That's the highest number this century. Meaning we've become a part-time society for a lot of people, so they must hold two jobs to make ends meet. Jobs are important. Jobs are absolutely important. And this is the stuff that matters to people. You know, not this screaming and yelling about this or that. And, you know, you've got emails here and you've got the polls here and you've got, these kind of things that people look at and financial people. Think about this. The stock market is down tremendously over the last few days. It's jittery. because they don't know what's going to happen. If they feel that she's got it in the pocket because she is a fan of Wall Street, they'll feel okay. If they feel he's got it because he is a loose cannon, because nobody knows exactly what he may or may not do, it spooks investors and Wall Street takes a bit of a hit. These kind of numbers don't help either. One thing Trump said that's very right is that we have a record number of people that aren't in the job market. Some of that is through attrition, people that are retiring, stay-at-home parents, things of that nature. But there's a good portion of people who aren't in the job market, who can't find jobs, who aren't being counted, who are essentially healthy adult individuals who are unemployed. But we don't count them. And with the multiple job owners, holders, that's something else that it increased last month. So some of those jobs that were actually added, those may be duplicates. Somebody's got two part-time jobs. Things like this that you look at as a person who looks at numbers goes, okay, while the numbers may on page look somewhat okay, and you got the 4.9, when you peel back everything and you read between the lines, it is far different than what's out there. And you knew there would be a slowdown, all right? Understand that there was always going to be a slowdown around this time, even though we normally add jobs, because we have an election. And it's an election that nobody seems to know anything about. It's an election that people are nervous about. It's an election that's got Wall Street. It's an election that got your pocketbook, my pocketbook, everybody's pocketbooks kind of trembling because we're not quite sure what's going to happen. These things are stuff that matter to a good portion of everybody out there. Unfortunately, we've become reality TV and we skip over a lot of this. But your pocketbook doesn't. Your payday doesn't. That's why we need to pay attention. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show. Love it when you do. 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Reporting isn't what it was. Rolling Stone. Fake news reports. It's kind of crazy out there. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
I think there's news, which is a business, and I think there's journalists who have careers. Let me explain. I think there are a lot of people out there who are in the news industry who are advocates, who do not hide the bias that they have, who will do stories and who will do certain things that will, you know, for all intents and purposes, lead you to believe certain things. And I think there are people out there that are journalists who may have bias, but they do not let that stand in the way. Today would have been Walter Cronkite's 100th birthday. I wonder how he'd have felt about this. A jury today found Rolling Stone magazine liable for defamation. If you guys don't remember this, it was a story that was done called A Rape on Campus. And it was about the Phi Kappa Psi house. And it was a damaging story. So much so, the Virginia University suspended their fraternities. It was ugly. It was completely ugly in what happened. Well, what happened was poor reporting. Somebody who had a biased want to put something out there and did it and used people in it and damaged their lives. Sabrina Rubin Erdley was found liable along with Rolling Stone magazine. about the Phi Kappa Psi house. And essentially, what she did is, you know, she made up stories. She didn't check sources. She literally went out there and kind of created stuff through hearsay and through parts of conversations without really getting the full story. Because there was a picture she wanted to paint, which is rape culture is alive and well on campuses. It's alive and well on campuses. The chief villain in the story was a lady named Nicole Ermo. She was a school administrator who was portrayed for her callousness and insensitive to the plight of alleged rape victims. Essentially saying that she, you know, when somebody came to her, she did not want to have it reported. She essentially pushed it aside. Monday, the jury is going to return to find out what she will be awarded damage-wise. She's seeking $7.5 million. By the way, Phi Kappa Psi is seeking $25 million. This isn't the first time we've seen stuff like this, right? This isn't the first time. I take back, you know, you can go look at Duke. You can go look at 1,000 different stories on both the right and left side on stuff that has nothing to do with politics. And sometimes people get stuff wrong, right? Sometimes people get things wrong because they talk to people and people say they were there and you're going on what they say. But a lot of times it's just sloppy and it's poor and it's coming from a place where you're not really looking to find out the truth. You're looking to put the truth on it as you would have it be. This story, much like the Duke story, was BS. It was. It was horrible. You had people getting, I mean, you know, think about this. If somebody came to you today and they asked you some questions and they portrayed you in a national magazine as being some horrible person by only reporting part of it because you could tell automatically that this person had a slant to the story that they wanted to write. They didn't want to do journalism. They wanted to write a story. Many people in the industry have come out and have absolutely destroyed this, not only for the verdict, but for the fact that nobody has been fired. Nobody's been demoted. Nobody's going to be fired. It's ridiculous. It is. It's not journalism. It's not. It's not journalism at all. What it is activism. Storytelling. The fact that think about this. You have somebody who has written a story that is completely, essentially, BS. Now, they came out originally and said, well, they made some editor notes a few months later. And eventually, they came out later on after that and just said, no, this is wrong. You would think you'd be fired. If you went into your job today, right, and your job was to do whatever it was to do, right, you're making widgets, and you break the bunch of widgets, and you don't do your job properly. And you only have to make widgets, you know, once in a great while of this epic proportions, and you fail at your job. And you knowingly fail at your job, and they keep you. That's on them. The fact that Rolling Stone is keeping her. Now, on top of this, Mrs. Irby, on top of all of this stuff, who is ever going to believe anything this lady has to say? And have you gone back and look at all of her other articles? Has she said something else? Has she done something else? Has there been questions raised before? These things matter because we're in an industry right now and in a time in our lives where take a look at what's going on right now. Because the masses are easily sold a bill of goods. I know people don't want to hear that, but they're sold a bill of goods. You tell a lie long enough, somebody's going to believe it. It happens all the time. Do you know how many emails, text messages, IMs I get every single day with stories on there that you have to look at this? This is the world's coming to an end. You got to have to look at this. And I always say, check your source. Check the source that it's come from. Is it real? Is it credible? people are about clicks. And there's a lot of people out there that are into huge satire, and they put stuff up because it's funny, and people buy into it. Because it's about a headline, and they don't really understand the rest of it. There's fake news, and there's real news. There's news people, and there's journalists. People who really want to get out there and, to me, uncover stuff, do things the right way. They may say, hey, look, you know what? I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, and I would never vote for a Republican, but Hillary's done all this stuff, and I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to find it because it's the right thing to do. This is the world we live in now. And over again, we're seeing this. Earlier this week, fellow talk show person, one of the biggest people in the industry, got caught up in something. He apologized. Fake news. It's out there. That's what I always tell you guys. Check your sources. You think the world's coming to end? You think tomorrow the Russians are going to bomb? You think Trump is going to go do this? You think Hillary's going to do that? You think the Republicans are doing this or this, that, and the other? You think all of these things? Check your sources. There are people out there that want to stir a pot and are activists. And it's on both sides of the aisle. Here are five stories over the last year that people, right, that people have bought into. And it reached millions of people. And because of the internet, because of social media, it takes off like that. Thousands of fraudulent ballots for Clinton were uncovered, claimed a story last month. Tens of thousands of fraudulent ballots found in a warehouse. The ballots had supposedly been cast for Hillary. Well, it wasn't true. It was completely disproven by several different places. One website had it shared 6.1 million times. Megyn Kelly was fired after she was endorsed by Clinton. Once again, not true. That was shared almost a million times. Elizabeth Warren endorsed Bernie Sanders. Wrong. Article was fake again. Milwaukee Sheriff David A. Clark is a member of the KKK. 500,000 people shared that, commented on that, believe that, and these are just a small number of things that are out there. The race to be first, the race to be salacious, the race to get the most clicks, the most views, and the most money. We're skipping over things that, because we're thinking to ourselves, people will buy anything. People will buy anything. And if you don't think that, look at this election cycle. You tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. What's reality TV? But the thing is, things like the Rolling Stone article, that was real. It wasn't reality. And what that does, not only does it hurt the people that were involved in it, a woman who's been disgraced because she's been treated like a pariah by her peers and by everybody else, because supposedly she didn't care enough and she was more worried about the university than she was a rape victim. That's real. A frat house and a bunch of guys who were damned inside of a paper, inside of a magazine, destroyed. That was real. And people out there that are rape victims who are now going to have more questions pointed at them because is this like Virginia? Or is this real? Hurts a lot of people. Don't get confused anymore with activism and news crap that's opinions and this and that and journalism. Because there's real journalists out there. They're few and far between. And then there's people who are opinions and activists. I'm an opinion guy. I read stuff. I give you my opinion. I try to do it in a way that's real. We're not always going to be 100%, but I think some people out there can try a little bit harder and leave some of that activism behind and some of that bias behind and actually do the work. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. The NFL, the no fun league. One player is definitely echoing those statements, and he's got some other things to say, and he's a smart one to listen to. I'll tell you that, Chad Benson Show.
More of the Chad Benson Show coming right up.
Listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Love the NFL. I do. I love football. Sometimes, you know, it's tough to watch these guys. They take a beating, right? They do. I love watching it, though. I think we all do. But it has struggled over the last couple years. Ratings have been down. And they've been down, especially in a prime demo, 18 to 34, that has some cause for alarm. For a while, they tried to blame it on this. It's a factor of a lot of things. But one of the things that I think a big factor is in the NFL is I think fans are frustrated at the watching of the game. The game isn't what it used to be. And by that, I mean it's more physical, it's more athletic, it's higher scoring. But there's also a lot of penalties. There's a lot of stop-start. There's a lot of things where there's too much left in the referee's hands and not enough left in the athletic ability and the playmaking ability of the players. Richard Sherman is one of the brightest guys in the NFL, and that's probably an understatement. Guy went to Stanford. The guy he's wicked smart. He really is. He really is. And he's also very outspoken. He's not afraid to. He wears his heart on his sleeve and he gives you the straight skinny on everything. He came out and he lowered a bit of the boom on the NFL on a few things. And one of them is why people aren't watching. Clip number one.
This isn't politics. This isn't justice. This is entertainment. And they're no longer allowing the players to entertain. They're no longer allowing the players to show any kind of personality, any kind of uniqueness, any individuality, because they want to control the product. They want to control the messaging, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's true. Look, you know what? The NFL used to have, I mean, look, were some of the celebrations maybe a bit much? Absolutely. But some of them were unique and they were funny and he's right. Look, this isn't politics. This isn't life or death. These are grown men making millions of dollars playing in the NFL. It used to be not for long if you play like that. Now it's the no fun league. Remember Terrell Owens signing the autograph after he scored? He pulled a Sharpie out and he signed it. Grabbed the pom-poms, did stuff. Used to have Icky Woods do the shuffle. You know, all of these things that we used to laugh at. And it's amazing that the NFL has gotten to the point where they're creating robots on the field, literally. And it's also how they want them to act. And it's not that. And the big excuse always is, well, we're doing it because we don't want the kids to do it, right? And look, all the kids do it. Like, they all dap. They all do stuff like, I have no problem with that. My son daps. It's funny. A lot of your kids out there dap. It's funny. I don't see a problem with it. If it's excessive, that's one thing. But if a guy does a little dance, oh, my goodness. Really? That's hurting somebody's feelings? That's ridiculous. Not leaving anything out. He also went on to talk about the fact that they're hypocrites. Cut number two.
You know, they say we're trying to influence kids, and that's their biggest thing. You know, that's their biggest ploy, is that you don't want to be a bad influence to kids. You don't want to be a bad role model. And I can agree with that. But in the same breath, you can't say Budweiser is the official sponsor of the NFL and we're trying to influence kids. So, you know, there's a ton of hypocrisy, but it doesn't matter because we don't control it.
Ton of it. Ton of hypocrisy. It's the same kind of thing you see like in college sports, right? They can't get paid. People make billions of dollars and none of these guys could drink it. Oh, by the way, sponsored by Budweiser. Budweiser's not buying the game. They're buying the eyeballs. They're buying the viewership. But the NFL, that is their thing. They protect the shield. Don't give it a, you know, don't give it a black eye. We got a lot of issues. Let's stop the individuality of it all, the dancing, the whole nine yards. Oh, my goodness. Somebody's celebrating too much over there. I love it. The exuberance, the craziness. What's wrong with it? When did we lose this? This is what America was about. The NFL has taken that away. It's made it the no fun league. And the worry is that, well, if kids see it, they'll try to emulate it at home. So let mom and dad worry about that. Let these guys do what they're supposed to do, which is entertain us. That's why they get paid what they pay. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, CHADBENSON. Text the show. Love when you do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. You can also call us, 844-DIG-CHAD. We like when you do that as well. But we love the text message. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.